brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome. I'm so excited. Woo-hoo. Today. Okay. This is another sud segment, but this is a really special sud segment where we feel that good beer is always best when paired with bad accents. Yes. And I mean wretched accents.
Oi.
Yes.
And long belches.
This is a show that good old boy Mike invented, so that all makes sense.
It does, doesn't it? I am your hostess, good old gal Juliana, and with me today at the table is good old boy Caperton.
Yes, I am at the table.
You are.
I'm here, and I'm excited as well for this very special episode. That's all.
Episode.
Yeah. Reverend Mark.
Hello, good to be here today.
Oh, yeah.
He's prepping his accent. Yeah. Good boy, Drew.
Oi, who are you looking at? Oh, sorry.
Exactly.
And again.
And good boy, Dave.
I'm both frightened and aroused.
At any given moment.
Yeah, that's the norm for
at
him.
At any given moment.
Well, breweries are constantly having to come up with new ways to get and keep the attention of beer drinkers because
we're a fickle bunch.
Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel.
We're ADD.
We're yes. Basically 13-year-old girls.
The newest bright color.
Very bright.
Shiny.
Well, limited or special releases, the mug clubs, the can clubs, the bottle clubs, the barrel clubs.
Ooh.
Wait, barrel clubs?
Ooh.
Okay.
Book clubs.
Tell me more.
Anyway, we've all had memberships to different clubs and probably have all stood in lines for a few hours or more to get a 4-pack of cans or a bottle of something that's supposed to be amazing, right?
If you're lucky.
Right. Yeah. Well, today at this table, we're going to give a try to a selection of beers from one of our favorite breweries.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Mike and Zebulon Artisan Ales in Weaverville, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Good old boy Caperton, would you mind giving us the lineup from today's selections?
Why, certainly. I'm not going to, the 2020 TARDIS Society beers from Zebulon Ales we will be trying today are Truman Brewing 1850 KXX Stock Ale at 11%. Barclay Perkins 1859 EIP East India Porter at 7%. Truman Brewing, or Bruin as it is here, 1850 Imperial Brown Stout at 9.8%. Truman Brewing 1860 XXX Mild Ale. It does not sound mild to me. At 6%, maybe so. Truman Brewing 1840. Oh, Keeping Porter at 6%. Did I say that?
Yeah, the mild ale is 8.4%.
Yeah, I think. Did I skip the mild ale?
No, you're good.
You did the mild. You just skipped the ABV.
Sorry, I'm keep getting carried.
You're good.
Let's carry
the
away
the
with
accent,
this accent
is phenomenal, though.
Okay. Enjoying it.
I'll keep it up. The
That's
Truman Brewing 1840 Keeping Porter at 6%. Truman Brewing 1840 Running Porter at 5.8%. And the Truman Brewing 1877 PI at 7.1%. What did we say PI was?
P1.
Uh-oh.
P1?
P1. I thought it was pill, some
pale IPA.
We will get into that.
Yes.
Ooh, there were a lot of letter combinations and phrases.
Letters and numbers there.
That
and,
will be explained I did okay. later.
And one
show.
Always you phenomenal. Did great. One always stands for P, right?
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you.
IP freely.
Good old boy Caperton.
You're welcome.
Now, good old boy Drew, Jolly please give good. Us the Suds ratings for today.
Oi, we'll be discussing rating these beers with these Suds ratings plus our signature belching sounds. Hear those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud.
I thought Mike had the worst exit, but daggum, he just lost the title.
Has to be how we do it from now on. Yeah.
Number three, oh, what a relief. Number four, a body really should not make that sound. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
We got a little Australian there at the end.
It did go a little,
got a little Aussie.
That's not a five. Now that's a five.
No, that's a five.
And we're off, folks.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so.
Sorry.
What we are really, we're going to be talking about this TARDIS society, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Mike came.
Karnowski.
Yes.
Karnowski.
I like calling him Mike.
Mikey.
Sorry, like calling him Mike. So he picked two breweries to set the backdrop for these beers that we are going to
be discussing. These are historical, as the listener may note from the dates, these are historical recreations.
Yes. So I'm going to give a brief description about these two breweries that that Mr. Karnowski is emulating, if you will. Okay. So Truman's Brewery is the first one, which you've heard we have a lot of fine offerings from, was a large East London brewery and one of the largest brewers in the world at the end of the 19th century. It was founded in 1666.
Whoa.
Yes. The Black Eagle Brewery was established on a plot of land, which is now Brick Lane in London. Mm. It grew steadily until the 18th century when under the management of Mr. Truman, and driven by the demand for porter, which was a very common beer style back then, it expanded rapidly and became one of the largest brewers in London. Its growth continued and it expanded, et cetera, et cetera. The situation changed for Truman's in the 20th century as it had to come to terms with the rise of the lager, cheaper competition from imports.
Thank you, Budweiser.
And the consolidation of the biggest names in British brewing through mergers and acquisitions. Mm. Attempts to come to terms with these changes through management restructures, et cetera, et cetera.
Even then.
It did not succeed, unfortunately. In 1989, the brewery closed.
Sound familiar? Brewers.
I know, really?
It's like the same story.
So the Truman's brand was revived in 2010, and since 2013, beer is again being brewed in East London under the Truman's name.
Yeah.
How cool.
How about that? Yeah.
Now, the second brewery that's being emulated is the Barclay Perkins Brewery. Originally named the Anchor Brewery, the business was founded in 1616 on land that was occupied by the former Globe Theater near the River Thames. Yes, look at that history.
Yikes.
Barclay's involvement began in July 1781 when Robert Barclay of the banking family, which, you know, that's a popular name.
Once a bank started getting involved.
Exactly. So he bought it and went into partnership with the brewery's chief clerk, John Perkins. Right. So
whose name's first?
And in 1797, they renamed it Barclay Perkins. Hmm. The brewery initially produced only porter, sure, because that was really popular at the time, until 1834 when it introduced the pale ale. It was also well known for the Russian Imperial Stout. Members of the Barclay family continued to be involved in the brewery's management well into the 20th century.
Nice.
Yes. So I think that's pretty cool that, you know, he's pulling from some big history.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
we should mention Ron Pattinson.
Yeah.
He's the historian. Okay.
Historian
Mike and Ron Pattinson.
Helped him locate and recreate
Ron's done a lot of the legwork on these breweries.
Yeah.
And Mr. Pattinson is, for those of us that don't know.
Is a beer historian in the UK. who's pretty interesting. I mean, we don't have anything to sample from these breweries, you know, but we do have their recipes, and he's done a lot of like just intensive stuff to pull up these recipes and stuff.
Yep. So we thank Mr. Pattinson.
So he's an author as well, written mm-hmm. books about.
Yes. Yeah. Many books for those of us that are homebrewers.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to think about how to adapt some of the terminology. Different malts that may or may not be available.
It's a mess. Yeah.
How many cubits of...
And even the records that they kept, you know, are different from brewery to brewery, you know, and it's a real headache. And it's really cool to have someone dedicated to sort of...
kind of piece it back together.
Combing through that stuff.
Give a taste of, you know...
And Mike is... They've collaborated quite a bit in the past. They did a lecture at Craft Beer Week.
Mike's a history buff too. I
mean, yeah, he is. Really he is. That, so.
I think, in short, this was a big labor of love.
Oh, for sure.
To do this as, you know, a beer society, hey, this is what I'm going to do for the year. You pay X.
It actually makes a lot of sense.
It totally does.
These beers probably aren't that marketable now.
Right.
But for people like us that are going to join these sort of bottle clubs, this is the kind of stuff.
If you're into Zebulon deep, then you understand
Mike's
love. Because
he does good beers all the time, right? You can have those. This is a really interesting thing he's doing.
Absolutely. Yeah. And what I love about Mike is, even in general, if you go to his tap room, he's going to have some historical-ish style beers.
Yeah, there's going to be a casket.
Yeah,
for sure.
He's not Mr. like super trendy, and he's all about the craft of it. Yeah. So I'm really jazzed and excited.
Might not find a cold IPA there.
I think he does have
one. Oh, does he?
Oh, wow. Well, okay.
Bows to the market forces in some respects.
Some kind of hazy thing or something.
Well, you know. Maybe just one. Maybe just one.
It's an 1840 cold IPA.
Yeah. But to preface this, I think, you know, for those of us that have had these sort of been involved in these societies, this is something very unique.
Yep.
That you're not going to see from a lot of breweries.
It's neat.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we will get into the beers right after this brief interlude.
Cool.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone, to a very special episode.
Special.
Specie.
Okay, I guess I'm the
special,
only one. Really
special,
special,
or special?
Extra special.
Extra special.
ES, extra special episode, ESE.
Are you bitter? Oh, I'm sorry.
He could be. Well, we'll get to that later. Okay, so we're going to start getting into the beers, and the first one will be presented by good old boy Caperton.
Yes, and the first beer we will be... sampling is the Truman Brewing 1850 KXX Stock Ale. A little background on this beer provided by Mike and Ron. No fancy names for a pale beer in the brew house back in the 1850s, just simple code of X's and K's. So the X's indicated the more X's, the more strong a beer was. And okay, K meant...
size does matter. Don't let anyone tell you different.
K meant that it was a beer for keeping or aging. So there was no standardization between breweries. So it was a roll of the dice from brewery.
Could be XXK.
No Reinskebot.
What was a triple X at one brewery might be a 2X at another.
But, so generally, triple X is your strongest, then XX, and then X.
Right. So the beer we're going to be trying is the second strongest beer made. So it's, and the strongest would have been KXXX, if that makes any sense. So this is 2XKXX. And it's intended for aging. It would have taken place in a neutral oak barrel for 6 to 18 months. Secondary fermentation would have happened. And as with a lot of these beers, this is before the advent of microbiology. So there would have been wild microorganisms surely in these barrels. So Mike helps that along with a little Brettanomyces. And some bugs. This particular beer is about as simple as it gets. It's just a quality pale malt and a boatload of East Kent Golding hops.
Dude, it is.
After a year and a half in the barrels, it just has a ton of complexity. Out in the pubs, it would have been sold as old ale or a Burton ale. Those styles faded, and they've recently sort of made a comeback. So there you go. The notes are 100% Maris Otter malt, 100 IBUs plus of East Kent Goldings, and it's 11%, aged 18 months with Brettanomyces.
It's a big beer, but it is...
Does not drink big.
No, it is. It's just like the hops in there are solid, the barrel and the slight funk to it. I love this beer.
Oh, wow.
This beer is outstanding.
Yeah, almost all I can focus on is the funk.
Yeah.
I could smell this all day long.
So, you know, we don't have, it's interesting, we don't have examples of these beers to drink. So what it tasted like, but it's probably not far off, you know. I mean, this is like the recipe is pretty straightforward.
I wonder everybody was
pretty straightforward.
Drunk all the time.
It's like colder than they probably served it too.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is
absolutely.
This is so beautiful in its simplicity, you know. And
well, and they probably would have been served in a beer engine, I guess. I mean, on a hand pump.
Yeah,
right.
Probably.
So yes. I mean, it would have.
Well, it was barrel aged. I guess. Why did they? I don't know.
Because it's not like they had forced carb, so...
You need to read the books, man.
No.
Scoop a...
just scoop it out?
Out of the barrel, you know, just straight out of the barrel.
You know, a lot of those pubs, they did. Yeah. I mean, they had lines that ran, so like, from the fermenter.
It would have either been still or it would have...
Yeah.
You know, so I think it would have even had a creamier mouthfeel.
But a nice layer of funk to this, for sure. And just nice bitterness.
Outstanding.
One thing I'm wondering, though, that these malts, before electricity came online, you know, they were kilned with wood. So everything kind of had a smoky aspect to it. Yeah. So that's one thing you're not going to find.
I wonder. That's you're right. You're right. What's the date on this again?
1850.
England definitely had... and say more electricity, you know, say throughout the whole country than we did earlier, but at what point did that begin?
Yeah, that's the question, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, to do kiln roasting and like that.
Oh, man, that's really good.
Big four malting. I don't know. I think it's outstanding.
Yeah. It's, I mean, again, it's gorgeous in its simplicity. It's so tasty. It's so, I hate to use the term fresh. You know what I mean? But it's like all the flavors are just popping in it.
Yeah, even still.
You know what I mean?
After a year and a half in the barrel.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been purposefully warming this.
That ton of hops, though. So.
Yeah, what are the IBUs on this again?
100 plus.
Yeah, because I'd say that's really standing up to this. Yeah, it really, really. Yeah. With the
well, I think they had to. I mean, just to kind of quell some of the microorganisms and keep some of the freshness.
I like Burton Ales, too.
I do, too.
Yeah, for
sure. This is outstanding. Yeah. All right, so what do we...
We are going to rate the Truman Brewing 1850 KXX Stock Ale a 4.
Yeah.
Solid start.
No doubt.
I like it even more as it's getting a little warmer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As I have a feeling that we will for, you know, any of these for that matter, because refrigeration wasn't exactly a big thing back then, unless you lived in a cave, which I guess you could. Okay. Moving on with beer number 2, Feral Caves.
Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Mark.
Yes. Do talk about the next one.
Okay. We're going to be looking at, tasting rather, the Barclay Perkins 1859 EIP, or the East India Porter. Now, you know, IPA, 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 that's what it was all about. At least it seems that's what we hear about historically. And yet, we know that England sent pale ale over to India, and that was what the officers and the elite drank. But what did the average person drink? The same as the average bloke in England at the time. It was a porter. Now, of course, they treated it the same as the pale ale by adding extra hops for aging and dry hopping, and for shipping, of course. And it would have undergone a secondary fermentation by Brettanomyces during the aging, no doubt. England sent way, way more porter to India than they did pale ale, but you never hear about it. So let's call it the original black IPA from 160 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, porters of this time have a very similar grain bill. Pale, amber occasionally, brown, and a bit of black malt for color. But the hops are in line with the IPA at around 100 IBUs of East Kent Goldings and dry hopped with more EKGs. Mm. It is then aged for 8 months with Brettanomyces, which slowly continues the fermentation, mellows up the hop bitterness, and adds complex character. And so the style of this beer, it's dark, bitter, aged with wild yeast, and it really doesn't exist anymore except right here in front of us.
Wow.
Dude, so I really like the part about how the aging kind of takes the edge off the hop bitterness.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely got some hop, but it's not like in your face, and it doesn't, it's not like a palate wreck
so
or anything.
So creamy.
So the listeners know that was hops were used to, as almost as a preservative for the trip to India. They had a lot of beer spoilage early on and discovered if they added hops, they could preserve the beer for the journey. Man, this is incredible.
Nice chocolate to this, almost like a little bit of cola.
So we've recently had some Brett porters. I'm trying to remember, and I can't remember the name of one of them, unfortunately, but they were not hopped to this level, for sure, you know. So, but this, man, this has just got that nice little undercurrent of Brettanomyces funk underneath there.
And arguably that was present at the time.
Yes. Yeah.
Look, that makes me wonder, would they have like tasted it when it arrived and maybe discarded or been like, oh, this isn't good enough for the officers. We're going to give this to whomever.
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Well, I don't think anybody knows the answer.
If they thought of it as, I guess when you were in India, you drank what they sent.
Well, yeah, I think they've been like, okay, we'll give this to the enlisted guys. You know,
or you drank what's the Indian beer that we have
Taj
now?
Mahal?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think all the officers were probably drinking gin.
Yeah,
so with their quinine.
Yeah,
maybe. This is gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really good.
I love like how I'm almost getting a molasses kind of feel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's super creamy. A little bit of floral on there too. Like, why are we not brewing more beer like this,
yeah.
America?
Come on,
hello.
America.
This just smells delicious.
This is like a bitter world. Like a really, really rich chunk of bittersweet.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Yeah.
And espresso.
I mean, this is decadent, but it's still light. I'm so impressed.
I think if you just did this as, like, this is our porter, and you didn't, like, talk about historical or anything like that.
I'd buy it up.
People would just be like, oh, crap, this is a really good porter.
At the start of this episode, I said these beers weren't that marketable. It's just, they actually are.
This one really could be.
So far, some of these actually are.
Okay. We are going to rate this Barclay Perkins 1859 East India Porter a resounding 5.
Yeah. 7% doesn't really drink like 7%. I mean, it's just,
it could be a 5.5% beer.
It's a good beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, so good. Okay. Good old boy, Drew. What are you going to talk about?
Do it.
All right. So
Drew it.
Ooh, I like that. I may have to use that.
Drew it to it.
Our third beer is the Truman Brewing 1850 Imperial Brown Stout. You know, as you know, Truman was big. This was their top of the line stout. You know, they say it couldn't be more traditional. You know, holy trinity of pale brown and black malt and an eye-watering 174 IBUs of hops.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, obviously this would be aging. They're saying 6 to 12 months. Probably would have contributed some Brett. So again, a little bit of Brett.
Wow.
They did do a 8 month age of this with Brett as opposed to the, you know, 6 to 12. I guess that fits right into the range there, right smack dab in the middle.
So you've got two beers, right? Like part of yours. Right?
No, just the Imperial Brown.
Sorry.
But they will.
I'm the one.
Yeah. The vast majority of the production was running porter. This would have been maybe 1% of the production at the time. So they're doing a Thomas Fawcett Maris Otter, brown and black malt, 174 IBUs of East Kent Goldings, and coming in at 9.6, calling out figs, raisins, leather, molasses. Saying it's very drinkable. I have yet to taste it because I've been too busy talking, so I'm going to shut up.
So have a sip.
Get in.
Listen,
it, man.
This is probably the first one where I think it drinks as big as
it is. Still, wow. It is drinkable, though.
But it is very drinkable. Tasty.
But yeah. It's got a little more punch to it, for sure.
It's almost spicy on the palate because it's got so much punch.
Yeah. But the dark fruit is 100. It's definitely
it's
there.
It's just...
Yeah. And I mean, the ABV is high, and yet, you know, there's some residual stuff going on in here that's really tasty and sweet, but not overly.
Okay, the figs. My. Sorry, I am blown away by the pure fig flavor in this.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
This is nuts.
Yeah. Chocolate figs.
Yeah.
In booze.
Yeah. I get the figs more on the nose than on the palate, figs. But I do get it on the palate. Yeah. I mean, it's not like a... gosh, what's the figs, raisins that always, beer style, it's always figs and raisins. It's dates? Escaping me.
Oh, it's Belgian. Reverend Mark, you know, what, the one with the
Belgian one. Figs, raisins, quadrupel?
The Belgian quadruple?
Yeah. It's like, whenever somebody says figs, you know, figs on the palate, I'm always looking for that.
It's got a nice warming to it, though. It's nice.
And I'm almost getting like a kind of rumminess on this, like kind of feel to it too.
Yeah.
My God, this is decadent.
And I can tell you from all the beers that I'm looking at, this one, you tilt it and contrast it, it is inky.
It is.
Yes.
Inky.
Yes. Oh, in the best sense of the word.
Yeah.
I'm licking the
this
cup.
This beer's awesome.
I would love to cook with these last two, but I feel like I would be wasting it by not drinking it.
I was going to say, you'd need to have like couple cases of it if you're gonna
Very special episode, guys. Thanks for
this is
I'll say that. Wow. I mean, like
viscous, we don't grade on the curve here. Totally. They just get these are straight scores here.
Wow. This is so pretty.
It's hard to compare these
sticky
to
lips.
You know, it's unfair to rate them, sort of. But we're doing it.
But also, he went to the trouble.
Yeah. So if you factor all this, that,
there's
stuff
a lot
in,
of work.
These are all, you know. Yeah.
Okay. I can't get.
She's speechless.
Yeah.
Well, I am because. Okay. You go to
it's
a
so
brewery.
Dang good.
Well, you go to a brewery that has a provenance for really good beers, right?
Yep.
And. You have these expectations, you know, and then sometimes, unfortunately, they fall short.
Sure.
You
can't all be winners.
Can't all be home runs.
Right. Yeah. But then, like, we're all tasting these blind. I mean, this is the, and I don't mean to wax poetic, but there's so much love in these beers, and you get it.
It really comes through.
And you're tasting
it. You can tell that someone really took the time to do their research,
to
brew it correctly, to hold it, package it correctly. Like, the insertion of the Brett, seriously?
Yeah, it's hard to track down Mike's beers. He's not distributed too far outside, if at all, outside the state of North Carolina.
Go to North Carolina.
It's worth the effort, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Really,
seek out Zebulon Beers. You won't be able to find these, but everything he does is just...
True.
And if there's enough demand, he might make them again. You know,
if the process was historically recreated, which we know it was, then none of this was single infusion either, I wouldn't think. So we've got...
Yeah,
there's that to consider. Yeah, and also, like, I mean, how much time, extra time, does it take to make these beers,
opportunity costs.
Right. I mean.
And I know he really went the extra mile to source the malts and everything.
And
I mean,
were they under modified malts? Yeah. They would need to be under modified.
And if he aged them for as long as, historically they did, I mean, that's sitting on this beer for a while.
And then in contrast to that, if this is what they were making back then, with all these beautiful flavors to go with what, could arguably be some sort of bland food at times, disrespect, it makes you wonder now, God, what about like our forefathers? If they were like dumped.
A quarter and some mushy peas.
Well, if they took a TARDIS though here to the United States right now.
Serious Doctor Who reference.
And I know, I'm there.
It's the TARDIS though.
We didn't talk about that. If they came in if they landed here now.
Yes, I have actually rebuilt the TARDIS before, I know what I'm doing.
And they tried some of the.
I just saw that episode recently.
And they tried some of the beers that are out now.
The slushy fruit sours and the lactose
infused.
I mean, what an embarrassment we would be.
You know, if three generations from now the entire population of the world is lactose intolerant, we know why.
Mike Karnowski is a big member of the Angry Old Brewers group on Facebook.
These damn kids with all their lactose and we all fruit slushy beers.
And I totally understand. Yeah. Well, this outstanding Truman Brewing 1850 Imperial Brown Stout.
Yep.
We are rating a 5.
Yeah.
Was there any
Dagnabbit? Best beer. This is their best beer. Yeah.
Wow. That is just crazy. So, what are we going to do now?
Okay, so next we've got the Triple X. How did I get the Triple X beer?
How is it Triple X and mild? Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah. So the Truman Brewing 1860 Triple X Mild Ale.
It's coming up
after these brief messages.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone.
Hey,
so
thanks.
We are talking about
good beer.
Society and like special brewers clubby type of beer, and the one in particular that we're doing is the TARDIS Society from Zebulon, Weaverville, North Carolina.
But I'm the doctor, the definite article, you might say.
The definite article, yes. So good old boy Dave was about to talk about his Triple X mild ale.
Triple X obsession.
Yes.
All right. Today we're going to talk about the Truman Brewing 1860 Triple X Mild Ale. Mm-hmm. To really understand British beer in the 1800s, you need to know that mild isn't really a style, but a description. Just like Dave is not just a noun, it's a verb. It means a beer consumed fresh without aging in oak barrels or stock or old ales, as old stock or old ales were.
What?
So wait. So mild you drink fresh.
But why male models?
Yeah.
Stock ales, you sat on them
Or, you stock them up?
Or sat them near you.
Could you sleep on them?
You could, yeah. You could make a nest of stock ale.
I could sleep. You short sell them?
I sit very long, I'll sleep. You could theoretically get a mild bitter or a mild stout, although usually the term running is used for those beers. By this time, mild ale had become its own style. Okay. I love British mild ales. Yep. I'll say that. Yep. And they are. They're meant to, just like, you make them, they let them carb, and then you serve them, right? They don't, they're not for storing or whatever. So I'm not going to talk a whole lot about this, but I will tell you that this beer is 100% Maris Otter, and you can taste the otter.
You can.
There's 120 IBUs of East Kent Golden hops, which, as a homebrewer, I've used East Kent Goldens a lot because I love the... It is, along with Fuggles, it is one of the prototypical British
the
hops.
Quintessential British. Yes.
Yeah. And it's at 8.4% ABV. You don't really, when you hear the word mild, people tend to think, oh, yeah, it's going to be like a 3% beer, like a light or 5%. Beer. Session beer. Yeah.
Near beer.
Yeah. But get that out of your mind. Just think of mild as fresh.
Yeah.
We're going to serve it right away. And even if it's a triple X beer, which means we're going to get a little dirty after we drink
that's
it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, baby?
Show everything. We're going to show everything.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to show you all we got. Well, anyway, so maybe we should try this beer.
Yeah, that might be good.
Well, they're beautiful showing us all the malt they got.
Beautiful gold color. So you can see that Maris Otter. I see him swimming in the beer.
And as opposed to the aging beers that we've done prior to this one, this does not have the Brettanomyces.
Right.
Right.
So it had no time to really develop any funk. So this one is actually probably tastes more like if you're going to have one of these, it tasted like a current or modern beer. This is probably the one that would taste the most like that, I think.
Yeah, this would be perfect off of a beer engine. Yeah.
Oh gosh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Like having it in the bottle, force carved, or however they did it, takes a little bit of the creaminess out of the mouthfeel that you would get, that silkiness that comes from a beer engine, which is, if you love real ale, that's, man,
that's where it's at,
right?
Mm-hmm.
This would be phenomenal that way. It's still a really solid beer.
It is.
A big malty beer. It's got a nice balance of the hops that really just sort of play in with the
sweetness of the malt, the hoppy bitterness,
which is really hard with a beer that this big. As beers get really this high in ABV, it becomes harder and harder to really balance the hops and the malt sweetness. Yeah. But I think they did a nice job.
It's either one or the other.
Starts taking over.
Yeah. But it's it's also the recipe itself is.
So
very
basic.
Very simple.
Yeah.
You know, and you get just
all these have been. Yeah.
These great complex notes, but it's a simple, very simple.
Well, you know how like there's a modern thing about smash beers, you know, like a single malt, single hop.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Yep.
You know.
And Zebulon's their regular beers his brewing style reflects this. His simplicity is just unbelievable how he pulls out complexity out of just a couple of ingredients. Yeah.
If you have good ingredients and you the proper methods, everything tastes delicious.
It's unbelievable.
That's how I operate in my kitchen.
Tools and technique.
Yep.
This doesn't taste 8.4%.
No.
This doesn't go down 8.4%.
You would get wrecked on this.
But
beer.
The
most people would get wrecked on
but
this
the
beer.
Complexity, the sweetness, the honey notes, and the floral that I get off of this.
Yeah, but not overly sweet.
Today's morning. It's just enough. Mr. Karnowski, you need to brew this all the time. You need to have this at your tap room.
I think
all
he has a mild on tap on the beer engine.
Every day of the year.
I want this with some fish and chips right now.
No, this is gorgeous. Yeah, gorgeous. Well,
this beer, your first, you know, you sit down and you have your first pint. And you're like, okay, cool. This is nothing.
Yeah.
Then
the next thing you know, you're sleeping in the doghouse.
Yeah, you know, you're three quarters of the way the first one. You're like, all right, let me go ahead and get my second pint ready.
Yeah.
And by the halfway through that second one, you're like, yeah, I better get some food.
What have I done?
Yeah.
Absolutely gorgeous.
Yep.
We are going to rate the XXX Mild Ale a 4.
Yep.
Well done.
Okay, yeah. Now I get to speak for a bit. Isn't that cool?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And,
I was looking for the applause, but I can't find it.
Conveniently misplaced the applause.
That what a button's jerk. Just not here.
Yeah. Right, not there. Okay, we're going to double fist this one, guys.
That's
so
what she said.
Get prepared.
Ow. Banned again.
Okay. In the 1800s...
All of our sponsors just called Good Old Boy Mike right now.
Yeah.
Isn't that a tennis term?
Okay, so... In the 1800s, brewers would make two versions of many beers. One for immediate sale, known as the running or the mild, and one destined for aging in a barrel for 6 to 12 months, known as the keeping or the stock. Okay, the beers were almost always identical, except for the hopping levels. The keeping versions usually had 30 to 50% higher hop levels. The high hop rates would protect the beer during the aging process, which we talked about. During aging, the wild yeast... Brettanomyces would give its typical leather, fruit roll-up, light barnyard, or, you know, barnyard. Character.
With hay.
With hay. And continue to slowly eat away at the available sugars. The aged flavor was all the rage back then, but eventually started to fall out of favor. Could you imagine that?
Well, that's because these... it's their version of
these kids.
Millennials who like seltzers, you know?
Yep. Whatever. Okay. So pubs would often have both styles available on tap, with the aged version being obviously more pricier. And drinkers would often blend the aged and the fresh to their liking.
Which we should try this.
That's what good old boy Tim did with this beer.
Timmer.
So we have included a bonus bottle of the running version. So I'm talking about the keeping porter. This is the notes from the keeping, but they gave us a running version as well of the same beer, so you can experience blending to your liking. So the ABV of the keeping is 6%, of the running is 5.8%. 90 IBUs for the keeping, which is EKG hops, and 60 for the running, which
might
is EKG.
I need an EKG after this. So I think we should all save a little bit of both and kind of mix them or blend them at the end. These are both outstanding. I mean, and for similar but different reasons. The extra hoppiness in the keeping version.
The keeping is...
It's not as hoppy as I'd expect it to be, though, with 30 to 50% more. Obviously, right. Amazing, aging, though. Of course.
Yeah. And these are almost, almost low enough ABV to be pub ales or being, you know, quaffing ales.
Yeah, sessionable. They're right on the cusp of being session beers.
Mm-hmm.
Drink your lunch.
And the cool thing is, like, if you've got two people and one person really likes hops, they could try the keeping version. Somebody's like, I'm not that much into hoppy beers. That running version, it's still delicious. And there's still hop character, but it's distinctly different to me.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Okay. Now, this explains why everyone and their mother back in the day was drinking porters.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously. This hits all the marks.
Yeah. Easy
to drink.
This, the running version of this is like, it's just gold standard.
How could you make it better?
You know what I mean? It's just gold standard.
Smooth.
The porter we buy now.
And then you get the keeping.
Yeah.
And the keeping is almost, it's almost like how we used to think of American versus English versions of everything.
Yeah.
You know, the American version was just a hopped up version of the English beer.
I wonder if the Brett is what's taken the edge off the hoppiness.
It's got to be.
In the keeping. Because the two, the running almost tastes a little hoppier to me.
Yeah.
I almost wonder if I got these mixed up, but the color
That's
a very good point. Yeah.
But it's like it's the Brett that It's at that fruity stage of the Brett, you know, so it's not so funky. It's almost a little estery, almost, you know. It's
You know, this is so cool because this is a great science experiment. And this is what I love about beer and beer styles. And
here we go. I'm mixing now.
Yeah. I mean, come on. It's awesome. Mix it up.
I normally don't like to blend beers, which seems weird since I make a lot of cocktails.
Yeah. But bros. Yeah.
No. Yeah. That's
amazing.
You know, and this is where it's at. But,
oh, wow.
Wow. Wow. Even better.
Yeah.
Synergy.
Holy cows.
No, but you were right about styles.
We've been so gushy this whole episode.
She's always right.
These beers are exceptional. Yeah.
And this is what they were doing back in the day when there was no TV, there was no internet influence.
This is the power of brewing, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
You don't need like an 8-grain beer. You know, you don't need.
No, you don't need the latest edgy
hops to make a fantastic beer.
Right.
You know, I mean, these beers are amazing.
But think about like how some of our favorite breweries, what they're doing is going back in history, like Scratch.
Yeah.
Taking it back.
They're the exception, though, man. These guys are the exception.
Oh, I agree.
Unfortunately, thank God they're doing it, though.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I would go for both. I mean, I don't know that either one is better than the other.
I would drink every day.
I would say the combination of the two, I find.
Yeah.
I'd like to add another rating.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
So the keeping version, the keeping porter, we're going to rate a 5.
Yeah.
The running version, we're going to rate a 5.
Okay, sure. I'd rate all these beers a 5, to be honest with you, when you factor everything
and
in.
And if you combine the keeping and the running version, we don't have a button for that. Yeah.
We don't have a belch.
Because it's so good.
I give it a 10.
You're fab. You're switched on. You're a bit of all right. Yes.
What?
So I make you runzy, baby.
I make you horny, baby.
I had trouble placing it.
Okay. Well, let's get into what is the last beer of the...
Okay. We're getting to the end here.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Okay. So this is the Truman Brewing.
Or is it P.I. or P.Y.?
I said
P.I.
1877 P1.
Okay. P1.
Man. Couldn't they just be bothered to come up with fun names back in the 1800s, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's all XX.
Schmoogey.
XXK, S3, P1.
Schnack.
Usually, a brewer's best or strongest beers were labeled number one. Weaker beers will be 2, 3, 4, etc. So what can we tell about Truman's P1? It's their finest pale ale, aged for up to a year in barrels with Brett.
Oof.
Things get a little muddied when you try and find differences between a brewery's pale and their IPA. There are usually no differences. Breweries are just simply sending their best pale ales to India because they were well-aged and hopped and could make the journey.
Government gets everything, man.
Okay. 170 IPUs. This is a monster of a pale ale. While 10 months of aging has mellowed the bitterness a bit, it is still full of mouth-coating hop resin.
Yeah.
The aging with Brett has added a good deal of spicy church incense funk. Reverend Mark, do you feel like you're at home?
Mm-hmm. I love that descriptor, church incense funk.
There is really no room for a beer like this in the modern beer scene. But it's like, you know, he says it's wonderful in its intensity and complexity. So it's 170 IBUs of just EKG.
Which, you know, they have shown that the human palate cannot taste anything above 100 IBUs.
But this is, and this must have been all bittering hops, I think, because I'm not getting a profound amount of aroma.
No, this is like malt that's just been balanced with a little hop bitterness.
To cut in briefly, this is like the best representation I've ever seen of a bottle club from anyone. They're normally not done well. It's like stuff just shoved out. I usually am like, I'll do a mug club, but this is amazing.
Every one of these beers was exceptional. Yeah.
So what do you guys think we should rate the P1?
It's a 5, man. This is my favorite. I think this is my favorite of the bunch.
It might be, dude. This is a great way to end
this. This is a great beer.
For the amount of IBUs that is in this beer, it does not taste that.
It is not killing me.
It is so beautifully balanced. And I know we're so waxing.
Weird. I've got bottles of Bigfoot I've had like 10 years. They're still just bitter as crap. You know, this is...
I know that we are waxing.
There's the 5.
Yeah. I know that we're waxing poetic about this, but
thank you,
Mr. Karnowski.
Well done.
Thank you for what you have done. I mean, this is gorgeous. And you know what? Your favorite brewery, see if they have a society. If you're that,
tell them to make
help them out.
Exactly. You know, because
especially these days, they need the help, man.
And yes, love your local breweries. Yeah. Love your local breweries. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us today. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Give it a little tap.
Come on, just tap that button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
And our daily tasting notes flow on out on Twitter every day at Sip Suds and Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news.
We're all buzzing.
You'll also be able to interact with thousands of other fans on those social media platforms.
I know I'm buzzing. Do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. It's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback.
5-star.
Go to Blake Caperton.
Yes.
Say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, everyone. This was a great episode. I look forward to seeing you guys again.
Reverend Mark.
God bless you for this day. Wonderful.
Good old boy, Drew.
Parting is such sweet sorrow.
Yeah.
Good old boy, Dave.
Bye.
This is good old gal, Juliana. Thank you so much for joining us today on this episode. Support your local breweries. And Mr. Karnowski, we do love you. Cheers.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.